You're listening to the MicroConf Podcast. I'm Rob Walling. In this week's episode, I talk about 9 signs it's time to sell your business. This is a MicroConf Tactics episode where we pull audio from one of our most popular YouTube videos on the MicroConf YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed there, you should head to microconf.com/YouTube. Before we dive into the episode, I want to let you know that Tiny Seed applications for our B2B SaaS Startup Accelerator are open now until February 23rd. Head to tinyseed.com/apply if you're interested. We provide world-class mentorship, the right amount of funding, advice, community, in-person gatherings, all the things that you would want from one of the best SaaS accelerators in the world. tinyseed.com/apply if you're interested. And now let's talk about 9 signs it's time to sell your business. Most founders I know dream of selling their business. Those dreams are what keep you going when shit gets hard. In the ideal world, you sell your business when it's ready to be sold. You've got a perfect growth chart, churn is on the decline, and customers are beating down the door to get your product, and you get to go out on top. But the reality is that life has a way of throwing kinks in your plan, and you might find yourself thinking, I'm not sure I want to do this anymore, and that maybe you need to sell your company. After talking with hundreds of founders who've sold their companies, I started to notice a pattern of signs, or cues you might call them, that told them it was time to sell. And I spoke with my wife, Dr. Sherry Walling, who is a founder and entrepreneur coach and consultant, and she also had a bunch of patterns that she had noticed, and we combined those into 9 signs that it might be time to sell. Some of these signs are external, meaning they're happening to you, and some of them are internal, meaning they're happening up here. I'm going to cover all 9 signs so you can recognize them when you see them. And if you stick around till the end, I'll tell you about the best resource for preparing to sell your business. But first, I want to talk about something Annie Duke, a former professional poker player, calls quitting criteria. In the book, Quit, The Power of Knowing When to Walk Away, author and former professional poker player Annie Duke lays out the concept of kill criteria, or predetermined guidelines that tell you when it's time to kill a project, change your mind, or fold your hand to cut your losses. And she writes, the best quitting criteria combine 2 things, a state and a date. A state is just what it sounds like, an objective, measurable condition that you or your project is in, a benchmark that you have hit or missed, and a date is when. So quitting criteria for a business might look like, once we achieve $3 million in ARR, I will sell the business. Or if I receive an offer for $15 million, I will sell the business. You can imagine a bunch of different kill criteria, and your particular kill criteria will likely be based on one or more of the following external cues. The first one is that you've built something amazing. The monetary value of your company seems like the simplest, best determinant that it's time to sell. You've built your business into something incredibly valuable, and a buyer sees that value and wants to give you a lot of money for your company, and you'd like to have that money in your bank account. With this one, you may already have a number in mind as one of your decision criteria. So once your business's valuation reaches $10 million or $50 million or whatever that number is to you, you plan to find a buyer and drive your Porsche 911 off into the sunset. A second external criteria is that the business needs more capital. Even if you don't want to sell your entire business, sometimes it makes sense to sell a portion of the company and/or raise investment to invest in future growth of the business, or sell the business entirely. A company that has experienced significant growth in a short amount of time can benefit from the stabilizing factor of a private equity acquisition or the resources of a parent company to help accelerate or sustain that growth. Another criteria is that you're no longer the best person to run the business. Many founders start companies because they're makers, they're builders, or they're salespeople. But as the business grows, they find themselves managing an ever-growing team instead of doing the work they love. The skill set of a 0-to-1 founder is not the same as a CEO managing 100 employees. And you can obviously learn those skills, but it's unusual for someone to be naturally gifted in both roles. Sometimes the best option is to quit while you're ahead. The fourth factor is when the competitive landscape shifts. Things can sometimes shift around the business in a way that makes it difficult for the company to continue to thrive. A good example of this is platform risk. So if your company was built to be integrated with a platform like Shopify or Amazon, and that platform changes, it can become an existential risk for the business. For example, a homeschooling platform could have received a considerable boost during the COVID-19 pandemic, only for growth to fall off again once kids return to school. Another example is the psychedelic market, where money was briefly flowing into psychedelic-related companies in anticipation of federal legalization. And when that legalization was delayed, the funding dried up. If you suspect that external conditions will significantly shift the predictability or sustainability beyond this point in time, it might be worth selling. The fifth external cue is a change in life status. Not all external cues are related to your business. You might enter a new phase of life where it makes the most sense to step back. This could be something like reaching retirement age or having kids, getting married, getting divorced. For Alicia Sokol, founder of Barre 13 14th Street, the change was twofold. Her children entered high school around the time her aging parents began needing more help. And as Alicia told my wife, Dr. Sherry Walling, in an interview, she didn't want to miss out on the last years of her children being home or the last years of her parents' lives. So she decided to step back from her business and see if it could run without her, figuring it would be a good experiment either way. She eventually sold the business to someone in the community who would love it like she had. And the last external cue I'll talk about is another opportunity arises. Sometimes a can't-miss opportunity will come not for your business, but for you. It could be a chance to run for a political office, work with a dream team to solve a problem you're passionate about, or work in an industry that's much more interesting to you. I've seen entrepreneurs decide to exit because they're drawn to an exciting, a fulfilling, or a challenging opportunity. And if you pass on a unique opportunity, you might be saying no to a once-in-a-lifetime chance to level up and pursue something new. Now let's talk about a few internal cues. The first one is existential restlessness. It's not uncommon for a founder to feel a sense of restlessness with where they are with their business, where they are with their life, asking themselves, is this all there is? Do I want to keep doing this for 5 years? Especially when it's hard. You might be getting bored with your business or with your role. You might be starting to wonder if you could use your skills on a different problem. Maybe you want to explore other interests, spend more time with family, or take the last chance to become a professional snowboarder before your knees give out. For ADPNR, serial entrepreneur who started companies like WooCommerce, Conversio, and Cogsy, external factors like a highly competitive market and plateauing growth made him start to think it was time to look for a buyer for Conversio. But it was the internal restlessness that pushed him over the edge. AD told me, building email marketing automation software is not my life's work. It's not the thing I want to do for the next 10 or 20 years. My next internal cue is that you want financial freedom. So it's a less emotional, but still internal reason to sell. And this is when you've hit your own financial benchmark for the lifestyle that you want to live, and you believe that you can sell your company for that. As Jason Cohen wrote in his article, Rich Versus King in the Real World, Why I Sold My Company, some founders start their business with the goal of selling for big numbers, in other words, to get rich, and others might think they're in it for the long term as a lifestyle, i.e. to be king. Now, you don't have to have exact numbers in mind for your financial benchmark, although personally, I always did, and I think it's probably wise to do so. But hopefully, you'll know it when you see it, meaning you'll know if someone comes along and makes you an offer, if it's going to be a game changer for you. And if it is, you know, you're only going to catch lightning in a bottle so many times in your life, so certainly something to consider. My next internal cue is that your interests change. As humans, we go through many iterations in our lives. I've had a number of jobs, and I would say even a number of careers over the last 10 to 20 years. Some people really love the first couple years of running a business. They love the idea generation, launching and finding product market fit. They love setting the foundation in place and watching the seedlings grow. That's not a bad thing, but it is helpful to know that about yourself and set your companies up accordingly if you feel like you're going to be one where your interests change and you're going to want to exit. And the last cue is your energy levels change. At some point, you will no longer have the energy you once had to run your business. It might be because of other cues like a life change, existential restlessness, or for some other reason you can't put your finger on. It's not uncommon that as your business evolves, your role of running the company becomes a different job altogether. There are many levers that you can pull to revitalize your energy before committing to selling your business, so be sure to get some objectivity before making any big decisions. This is an ideal time to talk to a business-savvy therapist or a coach. You may also consider asking your mastermind group or opening up a conversation with your co-founder, mentor, or partner. At the start of this video, I mentioned the best resource for preparing to sell your business, and it's my new book, Exit Strategy. This video has been a preview of chapter 2 of the book. Later in the book, we cover the struggles of going through an acquisition, some of the nuts and bolts, working for your acquirer, thinking about what's next for you. And frankly, we cover so much of the thought process and what goes on inside your head as you go through an acquisition. The before, thinking about whether you should, the during, and the after.